All right, Token Smart Podcast, another packed week coming up, another weird whip this past week, but lots of stuff to cover, a lot of things to discuss, so looking forward to diving into it with my buddies Trislet and Matthew, as always. I don't even really know what to make of the whip this past week. I mean, it was successful in the sense that, like, the speakers were very, very good. I feel like some of our, like, highest quality, like, people who are naturally very good speakers at the whip this past week. The after party was sort of wonky with, like, the not launch because of the gas prices. We had, like, a speaker cancellation at the last minute. But for all intents and purposes, I feel like these are, you know, a lot of these things were totally out of our control. And, you know, we did our shit properly and handled the things that we needed to do well. And everything I saw, people had a great time and everything. I don't know. Something felt like weird about, like, the whole thing, the way it went down. I like the flying field trip. People seem to, like, really enjoy that as well. But looking forward to Whip Asia number 2 this evening or morning, or got another whip on Thursday. Setting our sights on Pranksyland a week from tomorrow, which is the hype cycle around that is just continuing to grow, which is impressive. And then, of course, Metalympics, which we really need to start buttoning up, because I had a meeting this past week and was like, we better start figuring out more details before I have more meetings with people about it. So how's your guys' week? What were your thoughts about the whip last week and things moving forward?
I really liked the whip, but I liked the speakers there. It was really cool. Some of the people that came to the talk, some of the Maker DAO stuff was really interesting, you know, and caught people's attention, yeah. I thought. But it was also fun bringing, you know, it was the first time she had come in there, so she was trying to figure out the wearables, and then Margaret Corn Artist, you know, came in and she was trying to do the same thing, you know. It's like, so it was cool having those folks that you see in a lot of other projects coming in trying to figure out CryptoVoxels, and then once they got into it, they're like, oh wow, there's a lot to this. Like, you know, it's exactly what we've said in the past. Like, I'm still getting feedback sometimes, you know, especially with non-crypto folks who come in, they start seeing it and they're like, okay, so it's Minecraft. I'm like, well, it's a little more than Minecraft. It's a little less than Minecraft too, but it's like, you know, but what it's doing is, like, really interesting if you're into this whole decentralized ownership stuff. So, like, you know, some people don't care about that. So I'm like, I guess I don't know how to convince you it's good until you jump in and try it. And then even people who feel that way, they're like, oh wow, okay, I get it. Especially one of our whips, where this one in particular, because there was a lot of cool wearables, there was a big group, and then when you're in the chats and you hear them, like, a couple of people started talking to each other about it, so, like, they started getting me hyped up too, because I'm like, oh yeah, that's a good idea, you should get in and try this and that. And, you know, that's sort of the power that you don't get until you actually show up and attend one of those things, I think. So
yeah, I really like the whip again. I mean, to echo what both of you said, the speakers were A+, the three speakers that we had. But I like whips where it's sort of like turbulence along the way. Like, from the very beginning, Trippy's audio experience wasn't working properly. It was skipping and then kind of cut out almost entirely. But through those bumps in the road, I still feel like we're able to discover, like, certain, like, really serendipitous moments that we wouldn't otherwise have encountered if things, quote unquote, went smoothly, right? So because Trippy's set was a little bit late and cut out early, we had an interesting phenomena arise in the Discord chat, right? So the speakers themselves, as they are every week, chilling in Discord, but instead of just kind of being quiet and listening to Trippy's set, they're able to talk. So we had Marguerite, Coin Artist, and Jen from MakerDAO kind of having a green room conversation with one another, talking about their projects, talking about traveling for work. And it was kind of a really interesting glimpse into what they were doing. A few other folks in the Discord were able to kind of interact with the speakers before we started. And I thought that was cool. That felt sort of like the hallway session that you would have at a bigger conference, and something that I think we had been trying to facilitate working with a show after the speaker updates and the post events that we hold, but haven't really been kind of like taking off like we envisioned. It felt like that the pre-show space is almost like a perfect forum for those like serendipitous moments. Maybe it highlighted like if we have a shorter audio experience, since we've kind of like primed people to hop into Discord 30 minutes before the actual speaker updates start, we can give them like 10 minutes to kind of like talk amongst themselves and have those conversations that, I mean, I really love those moments at the WIP. They kind of make it magical for me. So I thought that that bump in the road actually pointed or shined the light on a potential like innovation that we can add to the WIP structure. And then we had one less speaker than we originally planned for, but I'm finding that this three speaker like set number is kind of a sweet spot. Like we're able to go a little bit longer in the updates from these speakers and then go into some question and answers with them in a way that doesn't feel like too long, at least to me personally. So I kind of dug that. But yeah, the post event, the squiggly what the F, it was kind of like a big what the F to me. After flying there, I thought it was really fun to fly, and it was cool to see this big line in the sky that RZA was leading, and again, like along the way, people talking and having fun. I thought that was cool. I want to fly again to the next kind of like post event, so I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, that was kind of like
trip techniques.
Enhanced field trip techniques. Yeah, I mean, I thought that there's a lot of really, really positive takeaway despite the bumps in the road.
Yeah, dude, look at you, a good glass half full. Yeah. I appreciate that.
You never think about that. It's definitely, it's like the kindergarten teacher herding the kids in the field trip, right? You got Rizzle, the bus driver.
Taking off, like the kids are running behind the bus, like, wait for me.
Yeah, keep up with the bus, kids.
That's right. You said we were leaving at 10. If you weren't on the bus, you're not coming.
Right, southeast. That's where we're going. No, I appreciate that, man. And you had mentioned that you thought the speakers was a sweet spot, and I sort of countered that. I felt like we just really had three great speakers on. I also feel like, for what it's worth, we've like really hit our stride with show, like fielding questions from the audience, yeah, and totally, like picking them out of Discord, and that really allowed for like some really good questions and like solid give and take from the audience that I feel like was always, we were trying to do it, but it was always sort of disjointed up until this past week. And that felt great. But yeah, I feel like some of it is due to the speakers. And I would say, man, we had one of our biggest speakers, Ben Nolan, on, and dude popped up naked for 30 seconds and then disappeared on us and everything. So I feel like we just hit a home run this past week with like the format and these particular speakers. But if you get a couple bashful people up there, you know, maybe you need to stack the deck a little higher. I don't know, man, but I do appreciate your glass half full perspective on things. And set us up, man. I mean, we got Easy's listening party tonight. Shout out to people who are listening to us and, you know, back at the AP WIP a few hours after that. So you want to give the people a taste of what's coming up later?
Hey, you know what? Actually, like, I want to jump in there because I was just thinking before we leave off the other subject. It's interesting because having someone like Marguerite and, you know, the folks there, it's funny because if you're in crypto, you on Twitter space and you're doing all this, like some of those people come off as kind of like crypto celebrities sort of things, you know, they're sort of like this person high up on the thing, and it's like you're afraid to ask questions and push out. So I feel what Matt was talking about there, where the little pre-game, you know, discussion and stuff, it makes everybody feel like part of the conversation, you know. It's if you've got a question for this person, they're an actual person, you know, and they're just as interested in this stuff as you are. So you know, your question might even be a question they have themselves. I'm like, that's more, in my mind, the power that I'm seeing come from the WIP is like, you know, if you really think you can do something, or if you're just interested, like you've got huge names in this space that are already making a big name for themselves. And unlike Hollywood movie star type people, you know, it's like you kind of stay away and stuff. Here, it's like, nope, come right on in, ask them questions, make, you know, tell them how you feel, and you might see your change come out and a future project they're looking at.
No, totally. I mean, that approachability sets a lot of the folks in the space apart, because I mean, you got to be approachable. It's all about community here. And like those moments that we saw and were able to experience last week, it's part of that magic of the Whip to kind of facilitate those community moments between folks that otherwise may not really have the opportunity or excuse to talk, because you can see folks on Twitter, you can maybe quote tweet them, try to engage in like discussions, but folks are busy and like it's asynchronous communication. You may get there a little bit late, they may not see it, blah, blah, blah. But like the moments where like the synchronous moments that we have at the Whip, they're pretty powerful if you use them right. And also on our end, if we structure them appropriately, which I mean, it's a work in progress, but I feel like we saw a glimmer of a really interesting potential future and how we can structure at least the pre-show heading forward. Looking forward to Asia Whip, or Whip Asia rather, we have Jesse Johnson from Bullionix, who's going to be stopping by talking about gold-backed NFTs and hopefully gold-backed wearables sometime soon. We'll have Big Crypto Art, aka Jake Johns, swinging through and talking about some of the crypto art that he's creating. A fellow by the name of Naimish, who runs a publication called Crypto Crunch, is going to come by and enlighten us into what crypto in India is like. And then Sandeep from Matic most likely will be stopping through and talking about the Matic network and their scaling solutions. And then right after that, another polygonal mind. I've never actually said that out loud.
Yeah, I think it's
design game. It sounds better in my mind when I write it. Polygonal mind.
Wait, what is the correct pronunciation?
Yeah, it's polygonal.
Polygonal. Okay.
At least that's where he said it when I've talked to. Yeah, Talk Sam has said it when I've talked to him in person before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he's so saying
polygonal. A polygonal mind designed Decentraland game. So we're gonna do something with mail, and it's pretty fun. Simple, the axe tossing game last time, but fun for everyone that's going to join that. So I'm looking forward to another metaverse field trip there, and not as many giveaways as last time, but we're going to do a couple wearable giveaways and a couple whale giveaways for folks that are able to sort mail or something the best in a competitive way. So looking forward to Whip Asia tomorrow, 2 p.m. Hong Kong time, 6 a.m. UTC. So everyone that's in this part of the world that's up at that time, definitely got to stop through. Oh, and we're going to be previewing part of next week's Pranksyland auction by holding the Whip at Brian Brinkman's candy shop in Pranksyland, yeah. Which is cool. Like a nice sweet build. And I think folks are going to be like like a little kid in a candy store, literally and figuratively. Sorry.
Oh, terrible candy puns. So many.
So sorry, bro. Kidding. So sorry.
Dude, his build is so sick though. I mean, we've both been in there before, and that mm-hmm. was what really like opened my eyes to how like insane this whole Pranksyland thing is gonna be. I have Same. Like no idea what to expect from these auctions or this event or anything, but I gotta say, man, people are hype. And I think having the Whip in, you know, these series of builds in Pranksyland has been helping sort of spread the word about it and everything too. But I see stuff popping up like all over the place from like people I'm not even familiar with about this Pranksyland thing. And I'm sure everyone has yet to pull out all the stops because we're still like, you know, over a week out from this thing. And I don't know, we've talked about this before. It's very difficult to, in crypto in general, to keep a hype cycle going for a significant amount of time, just because things move so quickly that, you know, we've collectively had the most success just sort of doubling down on whatever's going on 24 to 48 hours out and seeing sort of like the biggest return for social media investment, like along those lines or whatever. But this event, this hype train for this event has been going on for like 2 weeks or 3 weeks now and just continues to like seem like it's growing and growing. So I'm like, dude, is one of these parcels going to sell for like more than my like actual house is worth or like something like this by the time this thing is over? I hope so. And with the level of detail and things going into these builds, like there's certainly a ton of value in them. It's going to be fascinating to see how this all plays out and everything. Here, I got a funny story to share with you guys. So, we've collectively been talking behind the scenes about once we've got this Pranksyland thing off the ground, you know, it's really time to set our sights on, you know, buttoning up the Metalympics and, you know, just sort of hammering out the details so that we can begin to formally pitch this up to people who want to participate and sponsors and this, that, and the other. Anyway, so I had a meeting with the Battle Racers team. You guys familiar with Battle Racers, the game in Decentraland?
Yeah, from Decentraland. Yep, that's a good one.
So anyway, so I've had several meetings with different platforms, potential sponsors who want in on the Metalympics in some capacity. And so every one of these meetings has essentially gone the same way. Like, we have very few details because it's just early on in the planning stages and, you know, other than the broad concept. And so meeting with these different platforms and potential sponsors has been super fun because it's all like a hype fest. Like, I pitch them the idea. Like, this is how it goes, right? I pitch the idea. They're like, oh my God, this is so cool. And I'm like, yes, it's so cool. And then we just talk about how cool it is. And then, you know, we just wrap up the conversation. And I'm like, cool, I'll fill you in with details as soon as I get them. And everyone's like really excited. I met with the Battle Racers team on Friday, and they're like very nice guys and everything. But they just were like, yeah, your idea sounds awesome. Can you fill us in on more details? And that was like, that we like hit that part of the conversation like way faster than I normally do. I'm like, no, you guys don't understand. You're supposed to like get really hype with me for like 20 minutes and talk about how awesome this is, and then say we'll like figure out the details. So that was sort of like the signal to for me to be like, all right, I guess everyone's not just gonna like, you know, continue to be hype about it like indefinitely. We got to figure out something formal that we can actually start handing people about this thing, and it's fine. We just haven't gotten there yet. But saying all that to say, they're very interested, and everyone I feel like is very interested in being a part of this thing. The build is really coming together. I don't know if you guys have checked it out lately, and so now definitely seems to be the time to like really start figuring out like how this is going to look. You know, how much time each event is going to take. You know, what the deal is with the qualifying events. If you sponsor this thing, what do you get? You know, there's multiple levels of sponsorship, like there are with the whip, and just sort of like figuring out some sort of battle plan for this thing so we can finally get it off the ground. But to me, this seems like it's like the next like iteration of what we sort of stumbled upon in the whip. Like, we can obviously like with a totally different format, but it seems like we can really build on the lessons that we've learned. And just like what you're saying, Matthew, like these hiccups that have produced these like serendipitous events, like I feel like we've been gathering all this knowledge to like uncork this massive thing, and I don't know, it's getting exciting, at least for me. But I would like to talk to more platforms in the meantime that just want to like get hype and not look for details for now that we don't have. It's sort of like a long ramble to say a lot of people are on board, we just got to figure some shit out.
I feel like a lot of people who've heard about it, they're like, when is the Metalympics? And with Whip Asia, with these like the DCL games that we're doing, I can't wait to finally link those games to the Metalympics, because it's kind of like teed up perfectly for that. Again, we just need to kind of align on that broader structure of how we're going to schedule everything. What are the events, times? Are we doing qualifier and finals like in the same week? Are we going to delay them? Like all these like little details, not to mention how we're going to get the sponsors aligned around each of the games and the weeks and things like that. So like a whole, like, I feel like we have the ingredients for the most part all sitting around. We just got to kind of like make the soup, so to speak. So I'm excited to get into that over like the next week or two, so we can finally get this kicked off.
Yeah, I think everything can go into the soup too, right? I mean, you pull somehow all these events tie together in like some capacity, and you could totally see like the sign up for the qualifying round being at like the whip or something. I don't know what it is. You could even like gamify like the whip, like one of the, you know, ways to qualify for some sort of elite event is to like make sure you hit both whips in 1 week or something like that. I don't know. This is, I think, honestly, one of the reasons we haven't totally gotten out of the gate with this thing is because the possibilities are so endless that it's like almost overwhelming. And everyone that I talk to has a million different cool ideas that we could do with it that I haven't thought of. And you know what I mean? It's almost like such a big idea that we just got to pick a lane at some point rather than just sort of absorbing all the ideas. But no matter what, it's going to be fun. But yeah, it's tough, man. There's so many options.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a good one for I could see, from a development side, I'm using my business sort of related stuff. You always gonna have to pick a project manager, set of scope for how far we want to take it, because man, the potential for scope creep on this is ridiculous. We could be working on it for years and never actually launch if you let yourself get too worked up.
Dude, is that an official term or did you just make that up? Scope creep? I like that.
Yeah, no,
Oh,
you never
dude.
heard that? Oh
Of
yeah, man,
course.
that's God, it's horrible. I've been doing, web design and stuff. I see it a lot, where people, you get through a project and then afterwards people are like, well, I don't like this or this. I'm like, well, that takes a lot of to change that. And it's like, it doesn't matter, I want it. So now you like all of a sudden,
Okay.
your 10-hour project turns into a 100-hour project, and then it turns into a 1,000-hour project because changes keep coming in. Just keeps creeping up on you. So yeah, I know I'm already picturing, pre-qualifying rounds. We don't want people to get bored in the main event, right? You got to make sure that the competitor is competitive. So we got to pre-qualify our contestants.
I saw Pixel already sneaking in to the build, practicing on the voxel hopping platform. I assume
Nice.
there's going to be a lot of that. No, I think you're exactly right, man. But I mean, prizes help, right? Gold back wearables or some shit like that. I mean, we were talking to Bullion X about putting up some trophies, or I think is, I don't know, maybe it's just me. Pretty much anything competitive with a prize at the end, I don't even care like what it is. I just want to win that thing and beat you. As fun as the marble cards thing was, as fun as the non-fun gerbils thing was, I feel like it's pretty much a slam dunk. Tapping into that audience who had fun with that kind of thing. But shit, scope creep, man. You just put a term to like my life, basically.
Well, that's, I mean, I'm just picturing like even the, I mean, even the medal awarding ceremony at the end is going to be basically a whole whip in itself, right? At least if we want it to be. I want to see, confetti and things blowing up and loud brass band playing for the winners.
Hell yeah, dude. 100%. No, oh man, yes. Now I'm like just getting overwhelmed, like thinking about it here. It's oh my God, every event could be like a huge event, right? I mean, all of these like qualifying rounds could be like an entire weekend long like thing. We're gonna have to like probably find some way to like pull some people in, much like we have with the whip crew and everything. But I think, with something like this, you could also make it like as simple or as complicated as you really want. Like, we've all seen from these games like the axe throwing thing, after the after party of the whip. Like, I'm sure this mail sorting thing, like these aren't like super complicated things. So I feel like we just got to set the table for ourselves properly. And non-fun gerbils was, in my opinion, treading on very dangerous water in terms of overcomplicating their scavenger hunt. They probably like really pushed the boundaries, and I think it was fine, for what they were trying to accomplish. But I feel like that, at least for me, like that is the temptation to like really make it like super detailed and nuanced, and have every single thing well thought out. But at the end of the day, I think if we just find a good way for people to like metaphorically show up and throw some axes and get on a leaderboard, that's a fun qualifying event that everyone can participate in. And I don't think it necessarily needs to be like this crazy thing. But shit, man, the medal ceremony should be epic, right? Absolutely.
I mean, we can talk about all the possibilities, I think, heading forward. And I mean, we have a lot to discuss. And I can't wait to kind of like highlight all the participants and their accomplishments and stuff. But to avoid any potential like scope creep within the context of this conversation, we should probably stick a pin in that.
Oh, all right, voice of reason, yes.
Yeah.
Don't let me get carried away.
I'm excited to see what how tonight's show goes, and then Thursday's too.
Thursday we have DeFi Dad, who's going to be
Yeah.
showing up, and
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
can't wait for his second appearance. I know he knows more like what to say. Last time he said he was like nervous, like a little schoolgirl. I told him like it was great, don't worry about it, but he really wants to like make sure he makes a big bang with his presentation this week. So I'm happy and really excited to hear what he talks about. Probably a lot of to do with his new DeFi like tutorial series. So excited to hear that. And then Taishun from Namebase and the Handshake Network is stopping through talking about everything that they're doing over there. So I know there's a lot of hype that's building with that project. Excited to hear that. And then Andrew from Reality Cards, which is an NFT based prediction market, is coming through and talking about his project, which is in beta. And I think he has a pretty cool surprise for everyone that's in attendance on Friday. So looking forward to that. But even for Thursday's whip, we still have to button up where we're going to do it. Pranksyland could make sense. I'm talking with a few potential sponsors. So, I mean, there's still a lot of exciting details to finish for that, not to mention like what we're going to do for the post event on Thursday. So a few things to decide until then.
Can we hold Dad accountable for these gas prices? Word is like it's the DeFi crowd, right? That's like jamming this up for all of us, or is that just a rumor? Or
ask him, I would Thursday.
Love to blame Dad. It's just a joke, yeah. But
we should definitely blame him personally. He's the one who brought the tutorials out, right? People wouldn't be using it if it wasn't for him.
Is there some truth to that, honestly? Like I really don't know. Like, you know, I'm not native to the Ethereum crowd, and so, you know, I know earlier in crypto, I feel like this always happens, right? It goes up and then transaction fees get really high and then people freak out. And this seems like the natural like progression of things, but I don't know enough about like how Ethereum works in this case to know like if that is just sort of like the ebb and flow and has always been with Ethereum as well, or is this like something different because of the DeFi crowd? Do you guys have any like insight into that?
Well, just, I mean, if you look at it, like what DeFi is doing, there's ridiculous amounts of little trades constantly happening. That's how it's keeping the APR return stuff coming. You know, it's, and then a lot of people are like, I was even following some things and I tried messing with it myself a little bit and taking, you know, putting collateral up on one platform, taking a loan out on that collateral to put up another, you know, stake some more on a different platform, and they take collateral from that. So you basically like over. It makes it look like, you know, if your one ETH is now like 10 ETH because you're on 10 different platforms and you're taking loans from each one back and forth. But I'm like, man, this is dangerous. You know, that's the sort of stuff that I could see if the value starts dropping, then obviously all of them are going to liquidate your holdings. So like you're treading on dangerous territory when you might make a lot of money, maybe, you know, as long as you stay on top of it. But the minute you stop paying attention, just think you can walk away and ignore it. I don't know. It's an interesting one, but it's like it's trying to understand why it's giving you returns is causing a lot of people to have headaches and not wanting to get into it. But there's enough people in it. And the promise of an easy savings account brings a lot of institutional money. So we're seeing tons of people who don't like maybe half understand it, but maybe have a lot of extra income laying around. So come in and throw it in there. So, I mean, it's similar to what happened with CryptoKitties, right? It was this new thing and everybody wanted to trade, and and then at a certain point, so many people were doing it that the ecosystem was getting overwhelmed, but it didn't stop people from being like, well, what the hell? I saw other people selling for a lot. Maybe I can make a lot of money. And then you see more and more people coming in until it has its own, what, virality effect? You know, and that's DeFi's play right now. There's so many people. But the back end works because it's just constantly trading amongst itself, you know? So even without people actively doing it, the dApps themselves are trading amongst each other. So I don't know what the solution is to bring gas prices down, but I mean,
I was going
to
say, is this like, you know, a inherent problem with Ethereum in the sense that like it will essentially need, or, you know, necessitate something to the equivalent of like a Lightning Network or like something like that, you know, Bitcoin's been working on forever? Or it, like, you know, obviously like competitive blockchains are, you know, starting to emerge in the NFT space, and rightfully so, because I mean, lately this shit is a joke. I feel like you can't, you know, sell a piece of art for like $10 and then charge people $25 on top of it to, you know, just pay the transfer fee or whatever. It's like totally unsustainable and ridiculous. But again, I feel like this is what always happens in crypto, right? Like the value creeps up and people start using it more, and then the transaction fees go up and everybody freaks out, and, you know, rinse, repeat.
I don't know. Well, you know what? This is an interesting situation because now, I mean, at this point, so Yeah, way back with CryptoKitties, it introduced the issue and it got everybody, to kind of understand what's happening. It's like, oh yeah, I see why you can't do this. And then at a certain point, it was on the developer to figure out better ways to make your dApp work, right, without costing too much. And it's like the DeFi, some of it seems to be, I don't even understand why we haven't seen DeFi protocols go up on a side chain yet. Like, I mean, you could use Matic to do the same thing. I mean, you're staking your tokens to their DeFi project, so it's not in your wallet anyway. That's the one comp, the one thing I see people not liking about some of these sidechain ones. Like Matic is a good example of, you're sending your NFTs or your ETH to us to their holding contract, which then replicates it on Matic, and then Matic is fast, So people are like, okay, so I got to transfer you my asset, and now you hold it. Like, well, kind of, in a way, but you still have ownership of it because it's still tied to your address. But like, why aren't you just building your whole DeFi project on a side chain like that? I mean, I'm already staking my ETH to your main chain dApp contract, so it's no different.
For
I don't
death,
know.
are you listening,
Yeah.
man?
Well, I've seen some things like Flow is trying to do it. They're trying to make more like asset-based ones, but I'm like, I don't know, same story, right? Why not use their Flow chain for it or some other thing? If it's, well, Flow, I think they're not really tying it to ETH rate yet. They're basically doing their own side thing, and then eventually there's going to be a way to tie it to ETH. So I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what the solution is, but you're right. This is it's going to drive prices to the roof, and then people are going to start getting angry that things cost so much. Then we're going to see it drop through the floor. Like, I feel like that's what happened in 2018, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's so complicated, right? So we have like these yield farming bros who are like busy like making yams or some bullshit instead of like breeding kitties, which is like playing wreaking havoc on the gas prices. But then at the same time, there's these layer two solutions, different blockchains that are popping up, like showing alternatives, like at least better ways for now, like Wax and then Hive and what folks are over at Flow are doing, which are all kind of like interesting experiments in their own right. But then Ethereum, like there's this like carrot that they constantly dangle out saying like, well, like scaling solutions are imminent with like the switch to proof of stake. When that happens, no one knows. And it's just like people can't wait for that bullshit. And like Rizzo was saying, like especially like some of the like collectibles, the lower level collectibles, gas prices are outrageous, makes it just unapproachable for new artists coming into the space, like spinning up their own contract on Mintbase. At the peak of gas prices, it was like over $100. Like it was insane. Like no one wants to do that just to kind of like put up a storefront, when they could like maybe have cheaper fees when things calm down. So it's definitely throwing a lot of projects through the ringer, causing a lot of projects to look elsewhere, consider like leaving Ethereum or going to a layer two block or a solution on the side. But I mean, yeah, I mean that's crypto for you, right? Like it's never a dull day in this neighborhood. I'm still confident that at the end of this, like we'll have something that works, whether that
Yeah, I've noticed some
stick.
stuff from Vitalik. Usually tries to like play Swiss. I notice he doesn't, he tries not to make too big a splash, probably, just because of his position. But I've seen him on Twitter talking about DeFi things a little bit, about how he's not personally into it and he's not doing it himself. And other people, you could make, 5% APR though. Why aren't you doing that? He's like, well, it's, so
I
I
mean,
don't know. So apparently he doesn't like it, even though he's not specifically coming right out and saying that, but that's what I'm inferring by reading between the lines.
yeah, so much cool shit has been built on top of the Ethereum blockchain, obviously. I mean, that's how we're all sitting here right now, but it seems like this is setting the table for like a more like inclusive crypto ecosystem, like amongst this stuff. I saw CryptoVoxels handle post something like, is this the new normal or whatever? And you got to imagine like anything based on the Ethereum blockchain at this point must be looking to at least entertaining the idea of di diversifying or something, because it's in their best interest. If Crypto Voxels could roll in like Flow wearables or something that people could transfer easily or whatever, and pull in Wax or like something like that, I feel like we're probably going to start turning the corner to seeing like multiple blockchain projects, you know, being rolled out or existing projects incorporating other blockchains and everything. Because I just don't know. I mean, it's just like what you were saying about minting the contract on Mintbase, which is essentially why we haven't made too big of a deal out of the Infinity launch. Because it's like a joke, man. You know, when we were originally putting the product out, you know, we estimated what it would cost to, you know, put your own contract out there and make your own store and everything based on those gas prices. But then gas prices went 10x. And it's like, this is, you know, it's embarrassing to say, like, you know, here's our product that we told you would cost X amount of dollars. Yes, yeah, sorry, it's now 10x for you to use it. And it's not our fault. And it's not, but it's just, you know, we're all victims of this situation that, you know, I would imagine if you are someone like Ben Nolan or Decentraland or, you know, any major project that is founded on this blockchain must be sweating bullets right now with, you know, what the future holds for him.
Yeah, I'm seeing, it's funny because I pay attention to the market and, you know, obviously I'm affiliated with OpenSea, you know, I'm one of their community moderators and I help run all, some of their other stuff, you know, so I'm in there all the time talking to them and yeah, you're seeing trade volume drop to the floor, which to your point is because, you know, it's like gods and chains. We've got cards that are, you know, worth pennies, you know, because there's just so many of them. But nobody's going to trade if it costs $5 to trade each card. So you're just seeing volume drop to the floor. You know, that's the side issue is that like now people who bought a while ago and are trying to sell and things like now people can't get out of, if there are assets you want to get out of, you can't. So it's, I don't know, it'd be interesting because you're right. This is actually a, what is it? Necessity is the mother of invention, right? Where you,
mm-hmm. Yep.
This is what's going to force people to start. Yeah, as you said, either like, well, I don't necessarily want to leave Ethereum, but maybe I should be putting this project on Flow because, you know, I can tie it into this other stuff. I mean, it's kind of this is the start of a true metaverse, right? It's like, it doesn't have to be ETH. It could be any crypto. As long as you can pull the same assets, doesn't matter what chain there are into your game. Right? I'm going to use whatever's cheapest and works best and works faster. So I'd like to think that the end result is going to be better than what we have now, you know, whether you like it or not, whether it may hurt some bag holders in the short term.
It's going to be a huge challenge though.
Yeah.
Like talking to projects in the space and like there's these different blockchains that are spinning up, right? Like there's Wax, even today, there's Wax, Hive, Ethereum, and then Flow that's about to come up. And there's no like parallel like bridge to carry all these assets in between these different blockchains. Like that parallelization is like apparently a hugely difficult problem. And I mean, I think the future incentive will for sure be there, but that incentive isn't there today. So because of that, there isn't like any work being done amongst these projects for the most part. Like I think Flow is probably the closest to kind of like make sure that works just because they have like a legacy project that had been working with Ethereum, right? That they could be working on that. But for some of these other blockchains, like that's a huge problem that's kind of going to be open for a while. And like depending on what happens with the projects that get built on top of those different blockchains, like this is definitely going to be, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens, because I can definitely see a lot of folks in Ethereum sort of think that they kind of won crypto. There's almost like a nascent maximalism that I sort of feel. But I don't feel like anyone should be resting on their laurels now, because some of these other blockchains are doing some interesting things, even in the NFT space, let alone like what DeFi projects or any other projects in the crypto space on these other blockchains. So it's best to be super mindful and yeah, constantly be innovating and trying to improve.
I mean, I just talk about Matic a lot just because Matic seems like the easiest one to jump through if you're already an ETH developer, you know, and for no other reason, just that, you know, it's like at this point, I think Jim's mentioned it before where it's like, you know, what people don't realize when they're asking for developers, I'm like, literally the most experienced NFT developer around has 3 years of experience, no matter what. You know, if they say they've been doing it for 10 years, they're lying to you. Their resume is a lie. Right. You know, so that's like, it's an interesting conundrum when you think about it, right? You know, like, because you see that in real life when people start asking, all right, I need you to, you have to have 2 PhDs and 20 years of experience to have a job. I'm like, what? Yeah, you just crossed out literally everybody in the world. There is nobody who meets your requirements. So, so there's a lot of stuff to change, man. That's, I don't know.
It is, dude. What do you think? Like, let's just pretend this is the new normal. I mean, do you think 90% of these projects die off? That, or what do you think happens?
I think the ones that figure out a way to move to some side chain and smooth things out or embrace the latest are the ones that are going to come out in the end. But the other ones are going to seriously struggle in the short term, I think.
Yeah. For some of like the games and low value collectibles, I totally agree with that. I feel like some high value like crypto art projects, maybe they could remain on Ethereum and kind of wait for other projects to develop parallel solutions to kind of like make the portability of those high value assets like more efficient if that becomes like a bigger need. But my initial take is like that. If you're a lower level collectible project or not focused on the high end market, you're definitely going to need to experiment on if not other blockchains, for sure, better layer two solutions.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because it's I get what you're saying. I'm starting to see some ETH maximalists, which is a funny thing to say, because that's always, everybody makes fun of Bitcoin maximalists, right? Where Bitcoin's been the gold. And I've always considered ETH like the silver in the equation. If you ever do like gold bug conversations, I'm like, shit, maybe it's starting to be now the Bitcoin's going to be your platinum and ETH is your gold now, right? And whatever new thing comes up is going to be the new silver level.
It's weird times in crypto. I guess it's always weird times in crypto. Well, all right. So we like totally went off the rails, but that's like fine. I'm interested in hearing what you guys think. And I feel like this is like the challenge of like the space in general right now, like beyond the whip, beyond like the events. I feel like this is the common hurdle that we're all sort of looking at. And I don't know, man, I don't know how this gets better. I like to think like, eventually all of the NFTs that I've collected on the Ethereum blockchain will be viewed as premium because eventually we move away from doing that on the Ethereum blockchain because of gas prices or whatever. And so now I can finally tap into the magic fairy that Matthew's got that every now and again hits him with the 7,000% like return on investment or whatever. I need that in my life, and maybe this would bring that my way. We got to shout anybody out or anything. I feel like this was pretty good. Excited to, for tonight and what's coming up this week in Pranksyland and all the things.
I don't know. I think we called out a lot of people that we've been dealing with. I saw some interesting stuff from Whale Shark come out for his whales, dolphins, minnow program. So we'll see. Maybe there's somebody from that group.
Whale Shark has like 8,000 projects going on simultaneously. I can't even like keep up with what's going on. His Discord just keeps pinging me with like new things. I'm like, who's in charge of all this?
I noticed like, that I hit one of the red buttons in the no touch thing, and I got my wrist slapped. I was like,
oh, you touched the thing? You
like, I should have read the rules. I didn't read the. I just saw a red envelope and had to hit it as fast as I could.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. You were that guy. That's awesome.
Now you're flagged for life as like the toucher or something,
yeah,
right?
That's all I, yeah. I don't know. I tried clicking it again to get away, but nope, too late.
Yeah, that's great. All right, Joel. Great.
Oh, my bad.
Go ahead, man. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead, dude.
The only person I don't think we shouted out is Sugar Club, who's doing the music for Whip Asia. They put together another cool soundtrack for this week. So big ups to them. They're the Asia Pacific Chippy Yogi. So that's all cool. Cool wrap up awesome. Here.
Nice. Yeah.
Cool, y'all. Great to catch up. And we'll see you in not even too long.
Later, boys.
Later.
Later, y'all.